This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Lynn Mark in the studio this morning. But before that, let's take a look at how markets closed on Friday.
So in Asia, it was mostly a green day. The Nikkei 225 was up 2.3%. The Shanghai Composite was up 1.8%. The Hang Seng was up 1.1%. Singapore was the only major market that we cover in the red, down 2.2%. And of course, our own FBM KLCI was closed for Hari Raya.
Over in the US, the Dow was up, closed up 1.1%. The S&P 500 was up 1.5%, and the Nasdaq ended the week strong, closing up 2.3%. And now, for more on global markets and to get a lay of the land, we're speaking with Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy for VFS Group out of Australia. Jack, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, with volatility slowly making its way back to global markets, would this be a good time to take some money off the table and go long on cash?
The short answer is no, and good morning to you both. Look, I think after the couple of weeks that we've had, that we're going to grind higher from here. I think there's a couple of elements that are occurring. The fact that the CDC over the weekend removed mask restrictions around general populations in America shows you that, you know, the vaccine is working. I think once you start to get that rollout further across the globe, you're going to see this reopening start to occur in a more accelerated fashion. I also point to earnings, and earnings have been very good. Margins have increased, profit lines have increased, sales have increased across a host of companies, not only in the reopening trade, but also in the tech trade. I think we've got to expect some volatility. This correction that we have seen, I think, is a healthy correction. I think the market tried to crash in the last 2 to 3 weeks and failed, and therefore I am a net buyer of equities now. I wasn't so sure about that 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I still think there's a lot of value in this market. I still think we grind higher towards the end of the year, and this little speed bump and volatility that we've got and this downside move is an opportunity for clients or investors to buy. We've just got to expect that it might be volatile. You know, inflation figures are going to be really watched in the next couple of months to determine whether it's transitory or it's permanent, but I think this is a buying opportunity, and it's just about being in the right places.
Well, markets did get jittery as US inflation data came in higher than expected last week, while non-farm payroll in April came in below estimate. Do you believe that the Fed has inflationary pressures under control, or will we continue to revisit this theme on inflation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, and we talked about this last week on the show when I was here, I think the biggest question we're asking ourselves right now, and the Fed is asking itself, is whether it's transitory or whether it's, you know, going to be permanent, and what kind of damage this transitory inflation will do in the meantime. I look at a few things that are happening right now. I look at commodity prices, which, you know, have got slaughtered in the last week, week and a half. And I look at the futures prices of commodities. So 50% of commodities are trading in what we call backwardation. That means the futures price is lower than the current price of the market. So that's indicating maybe that we're going to see a drop in those as we go along. What I also indicate when we look at commodities, which is one that's been pushed up very highly, is once we start to get supply restraints under control with the vaccine and the virus coming under, you got to think that eases some of this pressure, and then that transit into the economy in terms of lower prices. It's a big 2 months. I think if we can start to get that under control by August, September, I think it would be transitory. But yeah, the Fed is in a hard place right now, but it keeps telling us that it understands what's going on. It's under control. And for right now, I'm going to take them at their word for it.
Well, while this environment is favorable for commodity stocks, should we be more cautious about interest-sensitive assets like tech stocks?
Yeah, my answer is no. And this is why. I believe we are in the early phase of digitizing the global economy. I believe that we're still at an early stage in terms of technological adoption. And if you look at some of the stocks that have been hammered, like Zooms or your DocuSigns, they've done really well. And I think they're going to do very well going forward. So this is an environment where I want to pick these guys up. Now, when we talk about some of the big tech stocks, I mean, they've got a bucket load of cash. So, you know, interest rates don't hurt them as much as they would hurt other players without the sales and the revenue. So if you talk about the long-term themes that are occurring in the economy, we are digitizing faster than ever, and it's going to be your tech stocks with great sales and great growth that will benefit in the long term. Now, whether you've got to, you know, take some volatility in the meantime, you know, I think it's worth taking it for the long-term picture.
Now, Jack, while we're talking about some of these global names, or at least the global environment here, some news came out yesterday that AT&T is in advanced talks to merge their Warner Media division with Discovery, also another media company, with a deal expected sometime today, as soon as today, possibly. Any thoughts on this and the increasingly consolidated media world that we're seeing? Any possible implications to maybe Netflix and Disney here?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a sign of the times, Roshan. It's very expensive, as you probably guys would know, to be in media, right? There's a lot of free media out there. It's hard to monetize at times. It takes a lot of money to get in there. And when you talk about the streaming wars in particular, it requires an enormous investment in content. And that enormous investment in content doesn't necessarily realize you the gains early on. So I continue to say that when we talk about global media, streaming and entertainment, it has to consolidate. I actually think, you know, another industry like that has to be the airlines. They have to consolidate together because the margins just aren't in there to have multiple players. So I think it's actually a good thing for both of these companies. Whether it affects the likes of Disney or Netflix, I don't believe. I believe, you know, they're going to be the two dominant players in this market, and they are way out ahead of anyone else. And I actually think Netflix is going to dominate, you know, and be number one going forward. But this is a sign of the times. I don't think this is the last merger or consolidation we see in media around the world.
So, Jack, the global chip shortage, though, is still hurting automakers and other semiconductor-dependent companies quite badly. What are the smart companies doing to hedge their exposure to this risk?
Nothing. I mean, what can they do? I mean, they can try to, you know, stack their inventory, which they have, which they can't. You know, this is just going to be a phenomenon that we have to play out till probably 2022. You know, this chip shortage isn't getting any better. It's the supply is not meeting demand that we have. And, you know, we talked about inflation. I mean, maybe the smart companies pass on that cost, which we're already seeing. So there's not much they can do in terms of, you know, when you're a net buyer of it. You are seeing semiconductor companies, particularly your foundries, trying to ramp up production, but demand is simply outstripping supply. You know, chips are such an important part of the global economy. They're the new transports, in my opinion. They're the basis of everything that we do, this whole digitization. This is just a waiting game at this point in time. I mean, they can manage their production lines better, you know, last first in, last out. Those kind of things can help them keep up. But at the moment, they're just sitting ducks in a market that's, you know, just got a complete shortage because of the excess demand we've had over the last 18 to 24 months.
So in general, are you keen on semiconductor stocks or have they gone ahead of themselves in terms of valuation?
No, I still like them here. You talk about, okay, a lack of, you know, or what, an increased demand and a lack of supply. But then if we pull forward growth across the market, particularly in tech, you know, everything requires a chip. Every single basic form of electric equipment to complex electric equipment requires a chip, and the demand for that will continue to be persistent. So I really like this market. I favor a nice broad-based ETF, something like the SMH, which will give you, you know, designers, foundries, and assemblers. You guys know about assembling down in Malaysia. I really like this industry going forward. I think it's, you know, one that you want to hold and keep it in the back drawer.
Jack, thanks so much for your time this morning. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving us his thoughts on the media landscape, semiconductors, and also just the volatility that we've seen in markets so far. Just very quickly, just jumping on that AT&T story that we were talking to about, getting his thoughts a little earlier. According to some sources, and the reports are now widely available online, AT&T is in talks to merge its media business with Discovery Inc. AT&T's Time Warner Media assets include HBO, Warner Brothers, and the sports-heavy cable network, and even CNN.
Discovery, on the other hand, owns the Oprah Winfrey Network, the Food Network, as well as Animal Planet, amongst others. So if the deal goes through, it could be, or would be, in fact, a combination of the two largest media businesses in the country. And a deal could be announced as soon as this week. So certainly something to look forward to. But, you know, Jack was saying that this might not be the last M&A consolidation deal that we see in this space, because like airlines, media, the margins are thinning for the media.
And neither is it the first, right? Because end of the day, the Disney behemoth that is today is just multiple M&As over the years. They just got bigger and bigger over the last 10 years. And this is particularly one to watch because whilst Netflix may be the number one streaming player, Disney is becoming increasingly the number two player. Who is going to be number three? And scale seems to be the key here, right? Scale and content. So with this new entity that will come out, the Merge Co. will be jointly owned by Warner, by AT&T and Discovery Media. So this will be, and then their content, I wonder how that plays into the streaming wars, whether Discovery will just plug and play into their HBO Max, into Warner's HBO Max product, and whether that gives Netflix and Disney a run for their money. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.